The Gemara says that a person has to give up their life rather than transgress any mitzvah or any avira, so long as the transgression would be performed in public in the presence of 10 Jews. Now, however, there are two exceptions to this rule. Number one, when the avira is performed as karka olam, in a totally passive sense, or in a way which one doesn't have the option of choosing death or the avira, where the avira is imposed upon the person. The second option, which is what we're going to focus more on today, is lehanas atzmam osim, that if the person who's forcing you to do the avera is simply doing it for his own hanah, so it's going to be permissible to perform the avera even in public in the presence of 10 Jews. Now, yesterday we saw that Rabbeinu David extended this heter of hanas atzman even to a case of an avera betzina b'shas hashmad, and that the balamor extended even further to be matir even gilei arayos, avodah zara, and shvichos damim, so long as the motivation of the goyim who are forcing the Jews to perform this avera is lehanas atzman and is not for something else. Now, there's a number of corollaries between this dispute between the balamor and the other rishonim, and one of the corollaries is in terms of the definition of hanas atzman. The other Rishonim would seem to view Hanas Atzmam as being basically anything whose intent is not to convert Jews or to cause them to apostatize. So therefore, if a guy is doing it for physical pleasure, that's considered Hanas Atzmam. But even if it's not for physical pleasure, even if there's some reason other than to force Jews to apostatize, that's also considered Hanas Atzmam. And under such circumstances, when Goyim force Jews to do an Avera without intent of making them apostatize, so, like, let's say just for sadistic reasons, so then it would be permitted to do the Avera even Bifar Hesya, and L'cha'ora, right, maybe even Bishas Gzeiras, you know, Hashmad, so long as the Gzeira was not made to cause Jews to apostatize. So this is the opinion of most Rishonim. They say that Hanas Atzman means anything other than with intention to force Jews to apostatize. The Baal Hamar, however, is forced to adapt a more narrow definition of what is Hanas Atzman, and that emerges from the sugya on Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Hey. The Gemara says that there was a man, and he saw a woman, and he had became tremendously sick, and the doctor said that he would only become better if he was able to either look at her, talk with her, whatever it was. And Chazal said that it's forbidden for him to look at her, it's forbidden for him to talk with her, because this is Gili Arayos, and it's Yeharig Ve'al Yavar. So the Ramban says, L'cha'ora, this is Yeharig Ve'al Yavar, but it's Lehanas Atzmo. The reason that he's faced with a choice between death or an Avera is not because somebody's trying to force him to apostatize. No, he just got very sick. There's no force of apostasy. So why is it that he has an obligation to give up his life, to succumb to the illness, rather than to do the Avera? Says the Ramban, it's because the heter of Hanas Atzman, the heter of doing things that so long as it doesn't lead to apostasy, does not apply to Gilei Arayos, Shvichos Damim, and Avodah Zarah. That's what the Ramban says. But the Baal Hamar, we know, argues. The Baal Hamar says that the heter of Lehanas Atzman does apply to these three Averos. So the question becomes, for the Baal Hamar, why is it, in this case, that Chazal were oser for this person to talk with the woman or to look at the woman? It should have been a case of Hanas Atzman, when there's no danger of apostasy, there's no intent of apostasy, and therefore it should be mutter. So therefore the Baal Hamar is required to say that this case is not defined as a case of Hanas Atzman. This case is defined as an ordinary case, and that's why it would be forbidden for the man to look at or talk with this woman. What is then, for the Baal Hamar, the definition of Hanas Atzman? It's not anything other than apostasy. So what is it? So I would make the following suggestion. In general, there's a discussion in Gemaras and in Mishonim about the status of an action which is performed under compulsion. So let's say, for example, that a person was compelled to eat food on Yom Kippur. So the halacha is that there's no chiyuv for that whatsoever. If a person was compelled to eat a piece of food, must he make a bracha on that food, or must he not make a need he not make a bracha on that food? So this is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch, and there's two deos that are brought down by the Ramah, and one deo basically says that there's no need to make a bracha on food that one is compelled to eat. Why is there no chiyuv to make a bracha? Because there's no real benefit, there's no real hana'ah. So based on this, we can understand what the difference is between ordinary case of hanas atzman, in case, let's say, where the guy says, chop down that plant and feed it to my animal, where the guy is doing that in order that he should be saved from the effort and saved from the expense of having to feed his animal. So that's considered genuine hanas atzman, as opposed to this case where the person, right, is, he's sick and he needs to do this avir in order to get better according to the doctors. And even so, that's not considered hanas atzmo, even though there's no intent to force him to apostatize. What's the difference between these two cases? In the case where he's doing the avera, in order to give the guy, to save the guy effort, to save the guy money, so he himself is getting no hana whatsoever from this action. The only one who's getting hana is the guy. And even, let's say, according to the Baal Mar, because the Baal Mar does mention such a case, what happens if a non-Jewish woman points a gun at a Jewish man and says, do an aveira with me, and otherwise I'm going to kill you. So the Baal Mar says that it's permitted for the Jewish man to do the aveira with her, because her intention is only lahanas atzman, it's not for himself. So there it's much more difficult. When a Jewish person chops down a fruit for a guy's animal, so he's getting no hana whatsoever from chopping down this food. It's labor for him, it's not a pleasure. But in a case where a non-Jewish woman forces a Jewish man to have an aveira with her, so then he's getting hana from it. So you have to say somehow that the fact that it's under duress, the fact that it's under compulsion, means that this is a hana which one is compelled to accept or to receive or to give, is not considered hana. So a Jewish man who's compelled to do an aveira, even if he gets benefit from it, the compulsion eliminates the element of pleasure, which I think is a profound philosophical idea, that pleasure is something which can only truly be achieved when a person exercises free will. If a person has no exercise of free will, no matter how much pleasure they're getting, that's negated by the fact that their freedom was lost in the attainment of this pleasure, one way or another. So in the case where a person is a chole, so over there, basically, he has a choice. He can either succumb to the illness, right, or he can commit this avera. So it's not quite the same thing. Meaning, even though he is compelled, there is duress for him to perform this avera, it's not quite of the same level. Because in the case where a non-Jewish woman is compelling the Jewish man to perform the avera, so over there, the reason that he's doing it, right, is, meaning, the motivation behind his action is essentially to provide hana to the gaya. The motivation behind his action is not to get any hana for himself. If he didn't get any hana for himself, he will be just as happy. His point is to save his life by giving hana to the non-Jewish woman who's forcing him to do the avera. However, in the case where the person is a chola, so then what's his motivation? His motivation is that he needs to get a certain amount of hana from this woman in order to cure his illness. So the motivation behind his action is that he should derive hana. He would be forced to get this hana because otherwise he would die. But the idea is not that he's forced to perform a particular action and otherwise he would die. Here the force is he's forced to get a particular hana and otherwise he would die. So that's the difference between the two cases. It's only considered hanas atzman when the compulsion is for the Jew to perform an action, but the compulsion is not on the Jew to get a particular benefit. However, when the compulsion is for the Jew to benefit, so then that's considered no longer hanas atzman, it's considered to be actually a ma'is avir, which is forbidden. So again, it emerges that for the Ramban, hanas atzman means any compulsion which is not motivated by desire to force a Jew to apostatize. For the Baal Hamar, what hanas atzman means is any compulsion which is forcing the Jew to act in a particular way, but which is not forcing the Jew to derive benefit. The compulsion is on the action, the compulsion is not on the pleasure. So one more machlokas between the Ramban and the Baal Hamar about the definition of hanas atzman. The Balamar asserts that Hanas Atman only exists by Arayos, but by Avodah Zarah and by Shvichos Damim, it's impossible for there to be such a thing as Hanas Atman. The Ramban says, wait a second, what about Haman? And Haman forced all the Jews to bow down to him, and he forced them to do it in a way which was forbidden. So in such a case, why did Mordechai refuse to bow down to Haman? According to the Baal, right, Lechora, Haman did it. He forced people to bow down to him for his own pleasure. He wanted to enjoy the kavod and the honor that he received from having people bow down to him. Okay, so there's a difference in terms of honor. People bow down to him as a viceroy, or people bow down to him as a deity. So he wanted the highest honor. He wanted people to bow down to him as a deity. But his motivation, in the end of the day, was for Hanas Atzmo. This was the Ramban's assertion. It wasn't to force the Jews to apostatize. It wasn't to force the Jews to serve Avodah Zarah. His intention was simply to get honor for himself. The Baal HaMor would have to argue that this is not defined as Hanas Atzmo. In this case, the motivation, you know, behind Haman is not defined as Hanas Atzmo. So what exactly the Baal HaMor's response to this question is very unclear. Maybe he'll argue on the Ramban's assertion. Maybe he'll say that no, Haman's intention was not simply to get honored. Haman's intention was to force the Jews to apostatize. So that's why it was forbidden for Mordechai to bow down to him. Another answer that he might say is that it was forbidden for Mordechai to bow down to Haman because one can't really discern, one can't tell the difference. Bishlama by Gilei Arayos, so it's very clear. If a guy wants a Jew to do an Aveira with her, so she's probably doing that for her own benefit. One can tell objectively, but when a guy asks a Jew to bow down to him as if he were an Avodah Zarah, so it's pretty clear on the surface that he wants the Jew to apostatize, he wants a Jew to serve Avodah Zarah. And, you know, no matter all his protestations to the contrary, may not satisfy our, criteria for determining that he's not really doing it to force us to apostatize. If it's murky and unclear, so maybe there still will be an obligation to give up one's life. So that may be another answer for the Baal HaMor to give to the Ramban, why it was forbidden still for Mordechai to bow down to Haman.